Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from three passages of Scripture, one out of the Old Testament, Isaiah, which we read last week, and another one out of the Gospel of John, which we also read last week, and then one out of the Gospel of Luke. First, out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 5 and 9, the light, meaning Christ, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And then out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, familiar passages, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. A number of years ago, our granddaughters, Hannah and Ellie, came to help us decorate for Christmas. They do that every year and have done every year since then. But their timing is always perfect for us. But as I discovered that particular year, it was perfect for more than just their decorating help. After decorating with us for a while, I noticed they had placed one of the manger scenes directly under the Christmas tree, a spot where we usually put the presents. And so when I had them both together later, I asked why they had put the manger set under the tree, adding that since we usually put presents under the tree, there would be less room now under the tree for the presents. Their faces melted into sadness. I wish I could have taken the words back, but they were both up to the moment with her wonderful granddaughter wisdom. "But Gran," they cried out in unison, "we first need to make room for the baby Jesus." And so, each year after the tree is up and the lights are on, the first thing they carefully put in place before any presents are placed there is the manger scene. Their reminder to me and to all of us that we make room first for the most important point of Christmas, the Christ child. What about you? Do we need that reminder? In these busy and difficult and uncertain times that we're in the midst of and that we've gone through and probably will continue to go through for a while, are you making room in your life, in your day, during this season for the Christ child? Together, a few days ago, we celebrated again that sacred day of so long ago. But I wonder what that day was like that Luke wrote about and we read from. I wonder what it was like way back then. I'll bet if we could listen across the centuries, I would imagine that we would hear the tramp of millions of feet traveling to various parts of the world known at that time, in obedience to the command of the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus. Busy roads and busy times, and the streets of Bethlehem were no doubt crowded, overrun with people talking and trading, waiting to be registered and then to be taxed. All the rooms were taken, and so Joseph is forced to find some shelter for Mary, which he did, but in a stable. Having passed by the palace of Herod and the dwelling places of the rich and the shacks of the poor, this young couple's welcome to Bethlehem was in a stable out behind the inn, because, as Luke points out in the scripture verse we read, there was no room for them in the inn. Welcome to Bethlehem, Holy Family. Welcome to a filthy, damp, cold, dark stable in the back of an inn, and where no one seemed to notice or even care that you are even there. It's truly symbolic of what would happen to Jesus throughout his life and throughout his ministry. There was no room for Jesus in the inn, and throughout his life, the welcome was usually the same. No room. No room in the temples or the courts. His message, his ministry, and who he was not understood or embraced. There was no room for him in the lives of so many people. And that's been the case throughout history. No room for Jesus in people's lives. You've noticed that, haven't you? Where other things seem to crowd him out, maybe even at times in your own life. Why? Why was the Lord of life, the light that overcame the darkness of the world, crowded out? I'm not sure the innkeeper has gotten a fair shake over the years since that night in Bethlehem so long ago. I mean, he was preoccupied with running a business, right? First come, first serve, pay your money, get your room. He was justified in saying no because there was simply no room available for the Holy Family in the inn. But you see, it's by such seemingly justifiable circumstances as those that the Lord of life is shut out of our lives. Preoccupation is a standard of our day. Preoccupation with the things of everyday living, other priorities, things that get there first, which we allow then to stay in our lives. We don't mean to be irreverent. It's simply that the priorities of our lives and hearts get filled first with other guests and other things. We have our social obligations, right? We have classes to attend. We have games to win, to prepare for. We have careers to build. We're striving for success while living up to the expectations of the world. All seem good. All of those, right? We don't mean to shove Christ out of our lives or set him to the side. It's simply that we're preoccupied with the business of living. The place is full. There is no vacancy, no room. How can anything else possibly fit into our busy lives and schedule? Look at the day timer. Every hour is taken, and so he's left out. Certainly, that makes sense, doesn't it? Or does it? Another reason Christ is crowded out might be because of what Isaiah prophesied and John suggests in his gospel, which we read a moment ago, that a darkness existed in the world, a darkness of man against man and nation against nation. It's a darkness that has come and gone throughout history, and a darkness that invades our own lives today and is wrapping around the world this very day, where we experience feelings of uncertainty, feelings of fear and despair and guilt at times, of heartache, disappointment or failure, and sadly, feelings of hopelessness at times. Where we find ourselves in a place where our lives have been overcome by all the pain and the problems around us, within us, on top of us, all over the world and this nation and our lives. But stop for a moment. And listen again with me, as John reminds us, it's a darkness that the light of God's magnificent invasion of our world overcame over two centuries ago and will always overcome in your life and in mine. That's what this season reminds us of again. God is here. The light of God's empowering and healing love is here. Here, still here, has always been here and always will be here for you and for me. Or maybe the innkeeper or other people throughout history didn't leave room for Christ because they didn't recognize the importance of the moment. I mean, if the innkeeper had realized who it was Joseph was making arrangements for, I wonder if then he would have found a room for them in the inn. If only he had known that this was the Son of God, and that years later we would date our letters from that night and the birth that occurred there and then in his stable. He'd be famous, but now we just remember him for what he didn't do. If only he had known, surely he would have made room, wouldn't he? But of course, that wasn't the way God planned it. And like that innkeeper, we too don't recognize those moments. I know I don't at times. And so we often miss the mighty, the powerful, the tremendous evidences of God because he chooses to hide himself in the meek and the lowly, in the quiet, gentle ways of a tiny baby in a manger, or in the brightest star against the darkest night, and in the everyday blessings of moments around us. The world calls us to things, to achievements, to climbing ladders, and to find our value and worth in those things, in those accomplishments. While God works in quiet ways, calling us to sacred moments with precious people, moments which call us back to our values, call us back to who we really are, who we were created to be, moments which we too often miss. Christmas has come with the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, with the hope that we will see once again the person God calls us to be. Will we make room for him today and in this new year we're about to enter, in our homes, in our hearts, and in the ways of our lives? Will we allow him to stay, to guide and direct us, to love us, and to change us into all he created us to be? Will we really change and make room for Christ today, tomorrow, and throughout eternity? Look, in the midst of all the stuff calling us, overwhelming us, trying to get into and control and direct our lives, the Christ child waits. Waits for us to turn. Waits for us to return, to surrender, with no negotiations, just patiently waiting for us to make room for him in our lives. Christ has come. We dare not miss him, my friends. He will make all the difference in our lives. Maybe now we will move past those things that preoccupy and distract us and instead make him our top priority. Let him determine our worth and our value. Maybe now we will allow his light to penetrate the darkness, the disappointments, the despair, and at times the hopelessness of our lives. And maybe now we will recognize those God-appointed sacred moments he places in our lives so that we can live the life he created us to live. What do you think? May I suggest that we make room for him, not just under our Christmas trees, but also in our hearts and our lives, not just today, but every day, throughout the season, throughout the new year ahead, and forever and ever and ever. But Gran, they cried, we first need to make room for the baby Jesus. Of course. But careful, though, my friends, because when you do that, it will change you. It will move you closer and closer to the God who loves you as he moves you closer and closer to the person he created you to be. Wow. Now that's a good deal. My friends, that's where we want to be. That's where we need to be. Make room for him in our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this celebration, the Christmas season again, for the birth of a tiny baby, your son. You did it. You thought it up. I wouldn't have thought it up. We wouldn't have thought it up to do it that way. But you did. Reminding us in that tiny baby that we are to be like him, that we are to look around and recognize the moments where we can make a difference in the world with you, that you call us to change our priorities, to place him first in our lives, to schedule him if we have to, 1, 2, 3 times a day to spend time with him, to allow his light to penetrate those moments where we feel alone, to punch our head through the clouds and see the sunshine of a brand new day, of God in the world, in our lives, making a difference in our lives. and that you would help us, Lord, to just slow down enough to notice those moments that you place in our lives. Thank you for all that you do for us and with us. Thank you for those reminders of your presence in our life, and thank you for what you did for us so that we might have eternal life with you forever and ever. Use us today. Continue to walk with us so that we become all that you want us to be, but more than that, so that you can help us to touch the lives around us, helping them to become all that you created them to be with you and for you. Thanks for loving us. Again, thank you for this season where we remember, but help us, Lord, to take it with us in every day that we have before us so that we might be all that you want us to be, loving you and loving others. In your Son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.